Welcome to our Gospel Truth radio broadcast. Today on our program, you're going to hear a teaching that I am using exclusively here on radio. This isn't on my television broadcast, but this is a teaching that I did at a Gospel Truth seminar, and it's being played exclusively for our radio audience. I believe it's going to be a blessing to you, so listen, and at the end of the program, you'll hear our announcer come on and share with you about how you can receive this very teaching that you'll be listening to today. Jesus was so secure in the fact that His Father loved Him that it didn't matter. He was just as content. He was going to speak the truth if there was five people there or if there was 5,000 people there. There's not very many people that would do that. There's not very many people that would serve God if He didn't heal you, if He didn't prosper you, if things didn't work out. There's probably people right here in this room that if things don't work out, you're gone. I've had people come up before and say, I wouldn't serve a God that doesn't heal. I wouldn't serve a God that doesn't prosper you. Well, praise God, I don't have to serve a God that doesn't heal, because that is God's will, and God is a good God and He wants to bless us. But you know what? I would serve God if He didn't heal, if God was a bad God that was putting sickness on people, and if He was judging America, and if He was the one that made you miserable. I was brought up to believe all of those things were true. When I was 12 years old, the pastor of the church came over and says, God took your father this morning. He's now in heaven. God needed him in heaven more than you needed him. That wasn't true. But I was told that it was true, and you know what? I still served God. I served God when I was told that God's the one that killed my dad. I served God when I was told that God's the one that put all the problems on me and was responsible for all the tragedy in the world. I'm not God. And I'm not sitting here dictating and saying, God, I want you to be this way. You know, I just read a Barna survey, and he did this survey of Christians. And among people that are calling themselves born-again Christians, which is a select group, but I'm sure not all of those are truly born-again, but even among the people who call themselves born-again, basically, he asked how they developed their theology, and he took all this and compiled it, and basically, something like 80, 90% of all quote-unquote born-again Christians come up with their theology just based on this is what they think it should be. This is how they feel. They think that a good God wouldn't send people to hell, and so they don't believe in hell. And they believe this, and they believe that, and they believe whatever they want to. And they basically just pick and choose, and it's piecemeal, and they have come up with a smorgasbord God. That's wrong. You aren't God. It's not up to you to pick and choose. You know what? If God was a mean God, He's God, and I'd serve Him because He's God and I'm not. The fact that He is a good God is wonderful, and I praise God for the revelation we have in the Word of God, but I'm not dictating to God how He is. Here's real simple theology. There's only one God, and you are not Him. Therefore, it's your responsibility to bow the knee and acknowledge that He created you. You didn't create Him. It's not up to you to pick and choose. But see, most of us are just sitting here and we're picking our own theology, and if things don't work out, we're gone. Jesus was so secure because He had a relationship with God Almighty. He knew His Father. He loved His Father, and because of it, it was just like water off a duck's back, what everybody else had to say. If the fear of man bothers you, if you have to have constant reaffirmation and people have to stroke you and tell you things, and if anybody neglects you or if somebody criticizes you, then you know what? You got a poor relationship with God. You can reach a place to where the fact that you know that God loves you is so great, you don't want people to be mad at you, because that's not good. It's not good for them. It's not good for you. It's not a good witness. And so you try and make things work out. But you know what? You can stay in a marriage not because you have to have that person love you for you to be able to survive. You could stay there because you want to be a blessing to them, because you want to see God touch them. You could be content in the Lord, and God could meet your needs like John Wesley, so that if your wife spits on you and kicks you and tells you you're of the devil, you just go on and change the world and keep loving God and serving God instead of staying at home sucking your thumb. I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, when you are all wrapped up in yourself, you make a very small package. When you understand how much God loves you, And when you get this perspective that God Almighty loves me, it changes the way you feel about everything else. It makes the colors brighter. It makes the day better. You just reach a place to where, man, God loves me. What else matters? Can any of you remember when you first fell in love? If it was God's kind of love instead of lust? That, you know what, you can get so caught up into a person that honestly you just forget everything else. I remember when I was pouring cement for a living and I was working with an ungodly crew. And they were persecuting me and they, you know, I was witnessing to all of these guys and they were telling me that this is of the devil and they were fighting against me. And so anyway, I still witnessed to them, but I was guarded about what I said. And then when I started dating Jamie and I told him I was going to get married, these guys were judging me by their standards. And they said, we know what you were doing last night. You've been out playing licky face is what they called it. And they were accusing me of doing all of the stuff that they would have done. And so, you know what? I just didn't talk about it. But I was so in love with Jamie. I was thinking about Jamie so much. I remember one time I was troweling a bay window. And when you trowel that cement, when you trowel that, you know, the water comes up and you see your reflection. And I was looking at that reflection and I was thinking, I love you, Jamie. And I was just saying, I love you, Jamie. And pretty soon I noticed here were all of these black faces around me looking in there. And I was saying it out loud. And all of these guys were hearing me say, I love you, Jamie. And boy, they just blasted me. I wouldn't have ever have done that if I'd have really been thinking about myself. But you know what? I lost myself. I was thinking about Jamie. Oh, isn't that awesome? That's the way it is when you fall in love with the Lord. You can get to a place to where you just can't help it. I was filling up my gas tank one time, you know, and it was raining cats and dogs. It was coming a flood. And the attendant came out and he says, you get back in the car and I'll fill it up. And I said, why? And he said, well, look at this day. And I said, oh, it's a beautiful day, isn't it? And he just looked at me like, you're crazy. What's wrong with you? It's coming a flood. And I just couldn't help it. I'm just happy. I was praising God and thinking it's a beautiful day. And I had to tell him about Jesus to explain why I thought it was a beautiful day so he wouldn't think I was crazy. You know what? You can get to where you don't even realize it. Other people are griping and cussing and you don't have to sit there and force yourself, but you're just in love with the Lord. And before you know it, you just say, oh, thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah. I was playing basketball one time with a group of guys and, you know, there are people I'd never met before. I'd never seen them, but we were just out and we needed some people to play a game. So we were playing basketball and these guys were using profanity and cussing and blaspheming God. And you know what? I didn't do this because I was trying to condemn them or something, but they started blaspheming God and I just started going, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. I was just praising God. And these people looked at me like, what are you doing? And I said, well, equal time. You praise your God, I praise mine. And I didn't say it mad at them, trying to condemn them. And I said, look, I'm not mad at you, but I just love God. And so I started praising God. And pretty soon, every time they'd miss a shot, they'd go, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I didn't care. At least I wasn't hearing them blaspheme God anymore. You know what? You fall in love with the Lord, you just can't help but have joy. If you're depressed and discouraged, you aren't in love with the Lord. You may know that He loves you and you may have received salvation, but you aren't staying in the presence of God. When you get to know God, that's what makes everything else in the Christian life work. And this is what Jesus came to do, was to bring you into an intimate, close, personal relationship with Him. And if you had this sin barrier removed and got your sins forgiven, and if you aren't having intimacy with God, you're missing salvation. I'm not saying you're going to hell. Maybe you've got your salvation secure and you're going to go to heaven, but see, this is one of the major problems with the body of Christ. They've preached that salvation is getting your sins forgiven so you can go to heaven. And salvation to most people is going to heaven. And when we all get to heaven, what a day that's going to be. And they sing about that, but they don't understand that salvation, the real purpose of salvation, is to know God. And the early New Testament church, see, had this message. It wasn't about getting your sins forgiven so that you wouldn't go to hell. If you read the messages that are written in the book of Acts and go through, it's every one of them is that God sent Jesus to bring you into relationship, and people came into relationship with God. They had a vibrant, hot, intimate relationship with God. They loved God. You know, I've got this book that somebody gave me, and it's an encyclopedia of Christian martyrs. And I've read about the first 400 years worth of Christian martyrs, and I tell you what, it just puts us to shame, these people's relationship. It's amazing the things that have gone on. I remember this one woman who was pregnant, and she was going to be martyred for being a Christian. This is about 300 A.D. And all of her friends that were in her house group were all in prison, and she was in prison, and they were going to kill them all and feed them to the lions and to the beast. And she was pregnant, and they had a rule in Rome that you couldn't martyr a pregnant woman. And so they were taking her out of the group the next day. And this woman, she loved these people so much. She says, "Oh God, let me die with my friends." And she prayed. She was only 8 months pregnant, and her friends prayed with her. She went into labor and delivered the baby in prison, gave it to a friend of hers to raise so that she could have this honor of going out and dying with her friends. And here she was, and of course the Romans stripped them naked, and it's gory if I was to go into all of the details. But they put her in a net, and bulls and lions just tore her from limb to limb, and she was out there praising God and glorifying God. And she wrote a letter to her baby about how wonderful it was to know Jesus, and it's recorded in there. And we have those writings. And you can see the same thing in the Bible.
That's all the time we have for today, but be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach on a better way to pray. This teaching series was recorded at our 2009 Chicago Gospel Truth Seminar. It's available in a 5-part album on CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Ask for series RM235 when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries. Be sure to specify CD or DVD. You can also get Andrew's book titled A Better Way to Pray for a gift of any amount when you ask for book number R321. The fifth CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request the fifth teaching when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs, 80934. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111, and our web address is awmi.net. We hope to hear from you today.
Once again, I'd like to encourage you to take advantage of what we call the Andrew Womack Living Commentary. This is actually my footnotes on over 9,000 verses in the Bible. It's in a Bible program. You get three versions of the Bible with that. You get four Bible dictionaries and commentaries, and mine is one of them. And the reason we call it a living commentary is because as I write footnotes every month, there are updates available. We have a sample of this on our website, so I'd like to direct you to that. You could actually check it out and see, and you could sign up right online. But check out the Andrew Womack Living Commentary. I think it's going to be a tremendous blessing to you.